again, it's an honor to be here and preach God's Word and proclaim the truth of Scripture. And it's amazing that Brother Gene just mentioned about eyes being opened. Today's message is when I saw the Lord. When I saw the Lord. Isaiah 6:1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Without a vision of the Lord, no man is saved or can be saved. And not in a charismatic kind of vision, but by faith seeing Christ. Seeing him high and lifted up. The Almighty God. Our Lord said in John 6:40, "And this is the will of him that sent me, and everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Isaiah is speaking in our text of the Lord of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, high and lifted up. John 12:41, Scripture declares, "These things say Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him." Where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18, "Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he." When we see the Lord, we have a vision of the Lord in glory, of his righteousness, of his righteousness, of his holiness, of his justice, of his immutability, of his power, of his love, of his grace, and of his mercy. And I believe this is a missing note in preaching today. Who God is. Who he is. Who the God of the Bible is. Missing note is not repentance or faith or duties or morality or the love of God. It's a vision of who God is. Who he really is. Preaching in our day is without the vision of the Lord Jesus and the awesome work that he accomplished. That it's finished. With a vision of the Lord comes a vision of the soul's own sinfulness, which cannot be seen unless the Lord reveals that to us. Job had this revealed to him. Turn with me, if you would, to Job chapter 42. The believer has this revealed to him, his own sinfulness. Not just the sinfulness of everybody else, because we naturally do that, we point out everybody else's faults. But when the Lord shows us his glory and is pleased to reveal himself to us, oh, we see what we are. Job chapter 42, starting in verse 1. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can doest everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me to which I knew not." And verse 4 says, "Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. And what's he say? Wherefore, I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes." A man who has seen the Lord, he has seen the Lord when all his idols have been torn down. His refuge of lies has been destroyed. The idols of works-based religion. Remember what Paul said? He counted it all but done. The Lord tore it all down. The idols of morality or goodness. We think we're pretty good. In our natural state, we're not as bad as those that are in prison. Oh, but when God's pleased to reveal himself to us, look at verse 5 of Isaiah chapter 6. We cry as Isaiah cried here. Then said I, woe is me. Woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm undone. There is also the idol of a false Jesus. A false Jesus. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his soap, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Verse 4. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. The idol also of a false profession. These lies get torn down when we see the Lord. The idols of a false profession. Our profession must come in line with Scripture. It must be scripturally. It must be salvation of the Lord. It must be. Not our doing. Not walking an aisle. Or shaking a preacher's hand. Or as I've heard many people do, they sit down there, oh, everybody, bow your head. Now repeat this prayer. Now you're a child of God. And they're declaring them to be children of God. Instead of God doing the work. Beloved, it's a revelation from God. It's a revelation from God. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 16, verse 25. I remember talking with a guy in the job site, and he about lost it when I just proclaimed what I had heard. I'd been listening to Brother Henry preaching, and he said, the gospel's a revelation. It's a revelation. But people want something to do. They want something to do. Romans chapter 16. Now to him that is of the power to establish you to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Verse 25. According to the revelation of the mystery. It's a revelation. Which was kept secret since the world began. But now is manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, which made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Verse 25 says, according to the revelation of the mystery. There's also the idol of money. Get all I can and look out for me, and money becomes an idol. It's just a means. It's just a means. The idol of family and friends. Folks exalt family and friends over Christ. But when a man has seen the Lord, all those idols are tore down. And Christ is all. He's all. That refuge of lies is just torn apart and shredded. And he says, woe is me. I'm undone. A man has seen the Lord when he sees him high and lifted up upon the throne. Look at verse 1 again. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. The man who has seen Christ sees him in his sovereignty. How his will is accomplished in all things. You want to know what God's will was in the world yesterday? Read the newspaper today. And we see it. We see it. Most men today have a God of their own imagination. They've carved him out of their own imagination. And he cannot do his own will or accomplish all things without their help. Or he's waiting on them. He's a frustrated God. He's no God at all.
Amen.
He's no God at all. Yeah. God who cannot accomplish His will or His purpose is not God.
That's exactly
right. The God of the Bible, the Almighty says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He's not like us. The man who has seen the Lord sees Him absolutely sovereign, reigning and ruling. Remember Nebuchadnezzar, when he came to his right mind, and at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation to generation. Just like His title tells us who He is and what He is. He is the Lord high and lifted up. The Lord God Almighty. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. A man will not argue or bargain with the Lord if he ever sees Him. He will bow, as Brother Don brought out last night. Here, bow to His sovereignty. And His will and His life. The man who sees God will not charge God foolishly. And we have a picture of that with Job. Turn with me again, if you would, to Job chapter 1. Remember all that Job went through? He lost all his servants and all his sheep and his sons and his daughters. But what's Job's reply? Job chapter 1. Verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. Now imagine this. He's lost everything. Everything worked. His sons and daughters. His servants. His sheep. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. And said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. The man who sees the Lord, who has seen the Lord, sees Him on a throne of glory. We worship Him and give Him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. We can take none of it for ourselves. And we don't want to. We don't want to. "Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil." The man who has seen the Lord sees Him on a throne of government. And we submit willingly. We bow to His rule in our lives. He's King of kings. The Lord's not a fire escape. He's not an insurance policy. He's King. King in the believer's life. The man who has seen the Lord sees Him on a throne of grace, which we can come boldly to in Christ and in Him alone. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy. And find grace. Find grace to help in time of need. Do you need mercy and grace to help in time of need? I sure do. Every second. And I pray that God will show us our need of Him every minute, every hour, every second. We need Christ. Need Him. Beloved, when kings die and idols vanish, and there's been many kings through this world, And there's been many idols. When they vanish, God is still on the throne. Still on the throne. But our God is in the heavens. And He hath done whatsoever He pleased. Whatsoever He pleased. The God of this people is easily approached. His power and His will is at work in our lives, in the believers' lives. A man who has seen the Lord, he has seen the Lord, who has seen the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. He has seen the Lord, who has seen the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. This is Him. This is the King sitting upon the throne. How can God be just and justify the ungodly, we may ask? Romans chapter 3. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, not ours. His righteousness. That He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Job 9:20, if I justify mine own mouth, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I'm perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. Perverse. Which, what is a man that he should be clean, and which And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous. Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints, yea, the heaven is not clean in his sight. How much more abominable, filthy is men which drinketh iniquity like water. Remember before the Lord saved us and how we just drank sin like it was, didn't have a care in the world. And even still, we struggle daily with sin. Now we hate it. Then we loved it. Now we hate it. As Brother Gene always says, the love of Christ constrains us from sin. Constrains us from sin. He is high and holy and lifted up. He charges His angels with folly. Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker? Behold, He put no trust in His servants. And His angels He charged with falling. This is God. This is the God of the Bible. High and lifted up on a throne of glory. How can He still be the one spoken of as holy and holy and holy and put away sin, make us righteous before Himself? Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ at His cross. He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And let's look at our text in Isaiah chapter 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Oh, forgiveness in Christ. Sins cleansed. The price paid for that God demands. So without a sight of God, a man is without the salvation of God. But how can a man know he has seen the Lord Jesus Christ? Here in Isaiah, the believer sees in Isaiah's experience his own. His own. We can tell as he did that we have seen the Lord. Many wonder, have I really seen the Lord? Have I really been saved? Or have I just had a religious experience? I had one of those. Thought it was my doing. So the Lord was pleased to reveal Himself to me. Let's look and see if we have seen the Lord. We are saved not only by His death, but also by His obedient life. He died the perfect death, the death that we should have been ours. We're the ones who have sinned. He was sinless. But He also lived the perfect life. We couldn't pay for one sin, let alone billions and billions and billions. He worked it out for His people, a perfect righteousness that is imputed to believing sinners. A man has seen the Lord who has some understanding of His awful guilt. Again in Isaiah 6:5, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. So he sees within himself. And then he also sees the depravity of all mankind. He says, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King. Seen Him in His holiness. And seen His own sinfulness. Is that not our experience? The Lord of hosts. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. It's a level playing field. Everyone is guilty before God. We come into this world born dead in trespasses. There's no age of accountability and all that. We're dead when we come into this world. Dead spiritually. Physically alive, but dead spiritually. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, though, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And as Brother Don brought up last night, Isaiah was saying, woe is you, and woe is you, and woe is you, for the first 5 chapters. And now he says, when the Lord reveals Himself to him, he says, woe is me. Woe is me. Was it for crimes that I had done? Yes. We never loved Christ before we were saved. No. We had no interest in the Bible or Christ or His people. Most of us, you wouldn't have found us ever meeting here. But look at this. It's marvelous. Trophies of the grace of God. Trophies of His grace. David said, my sin is always before me. Psalm 51:3 and 4 says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. We acknowledge our sin where we never did before. Job said, now I abhor myself. Why did I do? You know, you're just thinking, but you know, you just know that it's sin in us. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. George Whitefield said, a man has not repented until he has repented of his sin. What he is. What he is. And then his sins, what he does. And his righteousness, which are filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. Through and through, beloved. That's what God reveals to us. And this repentance is continuous. Daily. Daily we ask the Lord to forgive us. Oh Lord, forgive us for how we are. You know. How I think. How I act. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. But a man has seen the Lord when he knows that he is against God and he will never be for God. To see him, we must own our guilt before him. The believer takes sides with God against himself. He lays down his arms, lays them down before the Lord. A man has seen the Lord when he walks in the light of revelation. He receives and confesses Christ. He's being drawn. The love of Christ. He just draws us, right? Thy people shall be made willing in the day of his power. He wasn't willing before. Oh, but the Lord makes us willing. And then we confess Christ. We receive Christ and confess him. Also, look at verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Brother Henry used to say, when the Lord saves you, it'll leak out. It'll leak out. It will. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. But as many as received him, to him gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To the believer, the Lord Jesus Christ, his prophet, priest, and king. He's everything. The believer confesses that the blood of Christ shed on Calvary's cross cleanses him from all sin. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John. 1 John. And also put your finger in Romans chapter 10, if you would. He confesses that the blood of Christ and his blood alone cleanses him from all sin. He can't cleanse himself from one sin. 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Not just some. A-L-L. All sin. Wonderful. Whosoever believeth on Christ will not be ashamed. We confess him as Lord. He's already Lord, but we confess him as our Lord. Romans chapter 10, if you would. Verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. Want to live under the law? I don't know. You got to live by all of it. Don't just leave little things out here and there. You got to live by it all. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on the wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? Verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Lord has no secret disciples. No secret disciples. If you don't tell about him, it may be that you don't know him. And you don't know him because you haven't seen him. Mark 5:19-20. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them, remember the demoniac, how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Here's this demoniac. He's in his right mind. He's coming and publishing about Christ. Remember the woman at the well? The Lord said, I must needs go through Samaria. One of his sheep, not just one, there's a whole bunch of them over there. But I must needs go. The woman then left her water pot and went into the city and said to the man, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? When we can't keep from telling, it is then we can say we have seen the Lord. We have seen him. And may God grant you faith to believe and to see him. To see him. High and lifted God upon the throne. High and lifted up. And sitting upon the throne. Amen.